There's something now in quantum physics, I don't even know the language for it, but it talks about a sphere that when you step into that sphere, something happens. And I believe there is a spiritual principle, a sphere of faith. And that's why sometimes so much can happen in a particular meeting, because the faith level rises so high.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rohn.
Today, we're going to continue on that line as we bring to you Dr. Randy Clark, as he's teaching at the World Prayer Center in Louisville, Kentucky. His topic today is preparing our hearts for the supernatural move of God. Part two, here is Dr. Randy Clark.
I want to see. And Jesus healed him. You see, Jesus still does that today. And if we can get a hold of this, the word of knowledge is the way he still speaks to his disciples and said, go with this message. Tell them to stand on their feet and be encouraged, because I am calling them. And he goes, and Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I want to see. And Jesus healed him. You see, Jesus still does that today. And if we can get a hold of this, the word of knowledge is the way he still speaks to his disciples and said, go with this message. Tell them to stand on their feet and be encouraged, because I am calling them. That's what a word is. How many of you, let me explain it another way. If you had a vision, or if it happened literally, and the Lord appeared to you in this meeting tonight and said, I want to heal you, would that have any effect upon you emotionally? Would that have any effect upon your expectation? Would that have any effect upon your joy, your confidence? I mean, would you get a little excited if that happened? Would you know, not hope, but would you know? Would it take you from hope into faith? See, hope's always, God's going to do something for me in the future. Faith is, he's doing it for me now. It's the now thing. And I have seen, when people understand word of knowledge, it really does do that. And that's why Omar Cabrera, one of my two mentors, John Wimber and Omar Cabrera, is the two that had the most impact on my life for healing. I learned from both of them. And Omar Cabrera taught me, he said, Randy, do not go for words of knowledge in a place where you've never been, or where you haven't been a long time. Make sure that you lay a foundation that people understand the purpose of word of knowledge. To the degree that they understand it, it will create faith. To the degree that they don't, that same word can come forward. It'll create curiosity, but not necessarily faith. My wife and I had never heard, really didn't know anything about words of knowledge. And five people came to my church, Baptist Church, 1984. And my wife was not really open to much of this. But we saw so many people in our church get healed through words of knowledge. Then in 3 days, we came into an understanding of reality of this gift. And on the Sunday morning, the preacher had gone, and we had a layman from the team teaching. He said, today, while I was taking a shower, God spoke to me and said, somebody's going to be healed of TMJ. My wife had TMJ. When she realized what he was saying, she was on the front row. She jumped up and she said, that's me, and then ran to the front. And then she got up here and said, oh, he didn't tell me to come up here. Maybe I did something wrong. And then, I've been healed. Nobody prayed for her. There was no hands laid on her, no prayer for her. She got healed because the word of knowledge created the faith that produced the healing. Now, you would think I would learn that, but some of us, myself included, are slow learners. I was a slow learner. So, 11 years later, I'm in Argentina, and I'm working with, I was in Guatemala first. I was working with Omar Cabrera, and Harold Caballeros got a church of about 25,000 people down there. And I was there, and Omar was there, and I watched Omar. And I watched him do things I'd never seen Wimber do. He'd say, if you have the word, stand up. If this word of knowledge is your condition, you stand up. If you begin to feel the power of God coming on you, half the people that we see in our meetings that get healed, they feel heat or energy or trembling. The other half feel nothing, and they just get healed, feeling nothing. So don't put your faith in your feelings. Put your faith in the Word. So then he'd say, if it increases, wave your hand. The moment you're 80% better, wave both hands over your head like this. So I asked him, Omar, why do you say it that way? Why don't you just say, when you're healed, wave your hands? He said, you got to understand, Randy. The atmosphere of faith is crucial to a healing meeting. And by the way, that's why it's important after a while when somebody starts, I or someone else, Paul or whoever, gives words of knowledge. If you have it, you should stand up right then. Here's why. If you say, I'll just wait to the end to stand up. People are giving words of knowledge and they're accurate and you have it, but you don't stand up. What happens in the meeting? It creates an unbelief. It creates doubt. Why? Because it looks like the person ministering is missing God. And we're not missing God, but you are literally touching the glory. Listen, not to testify when you get healed is touching the glory. It is not a sign of humility when you don't get up and testify that God healed you. You just touch the glory. We hear about people bragging on themselves as if they did it. That's one way of touching the glory. When you don't testify to your healing, you touch the glory of God, because God gets glory out of the testimony of the healing. Humility is being willing to face the fear of man and still give your testimony for the glory of God. And when that happens, it creates and increases. So on the other hand, if you have it and you stand up immediately, that starts happening all over the place. Faith begins to rise in the room. God is with us. And then if you begin to feel the power of God, you raise your hand. It increases. You begin to wave it. People see it. Even unbelievers can see it in meetings. I believe the great revivals of the future are going to have healing right in the middle of them. I have seen so many people get so touched, their heart touched by the Jesus healing people, that all you had to do is give an invitation. Didn't even have to preach a sermon, just give an invitation. One missionary in a church about 16,000 down in Medellin, we prayed for the sick, but terminally ill, the blind, deaf, and people who couldn't walk without an aid for an hour before the church started. We trained their people, their church, and they had hundreds show up for that. They'd advertised it. And then we prayed for another hour of worship, and I came up to the pastor, he's a missionary, American missionary named Andrew McMillan. I said, Andrew, I feel like we're supposed to give an invitation. Let me give an invitation right now. There had been no preaching, just worship and praying for the sick. We gave an invitation. Over 200, almost 300 people came forward in that one invitation. The pastor told me, we've never seen that many people come to Jesus in one normal church service. What was it? It was the demonstration of the mercy of God that caused the heart of the people to be touched. The goodness of God draws us to repentance. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13 says this. As it is written, we believed, and therefore we spoke. And in that same spirit of faith, we too believe, and therefore we speak. Here's what I learned. You may believe something, but something happens when you believe it enough, you will declare it. It actually, if you're hearing from the Lord, and you declare what you're hearing, it changes the atmosphere. Here's what happened. I had been praying with word of knowledge for 11 years. And I'd learned about Omar, you know, from him about doing this. Now I'm at his church. I'm going to be at 6 churches throughout Argentina that he had, out of the hundreds that he had started. And 6 regional churches. And I'm at the first one in Buenos Aires. And I said, you know, if you have the word, stand up. And if you feel something, put your hand there, and if it increases, do this. And if you're 80% healed, do this. So I had a Baptist, Victor Lenzo was my translator. And so I was speaking in English, and he had translated into Spanish. I gave several words of knowledge, and the people stood up, and 1/4 of the people stood up. They stood up doing this. And I said, Victor, we have a problem here. Tell them not to do that till they're healed. I don't want them to do it because they're confessing it, believing for it. I want it to be, they do it if it's manifested. I don't want to misrepresent this. I tell them not to do that until they are healed. So he told them. I gave some more words of knowledge. They stood up. A fourth of people stood up doing this. I said, Victor, we still have a problem. They don't understand yet. So tell them again, don't do that until they're healed. So he did it. I gave more words of knowledge. Fourth of people stood up doing this. I said, Victor, they still don't get it. And he looked at me. He said, Randy, they get it. You're the one that doesn't get it. I'll never forget what he said. Why do you believe that you have to pray before they can get healed? You have God in a box. He is bigger than that. His word is stronger than that. And they understand word of knowledge better than you do. This church was built by Omar Cabrera, who moves in the word of knowledge. He's taught them about word of knowledge. They understand that word itself has the power to heal them. I got so excited. I'd never seen that happen in my life. After 11 years, I came back to the United States having seen it. Here's what happens. Once you've visited something, you've seen it, it takes you to a new level of expectation. Now, I could have come back and played it safe, but I didn't. It's not my nature. I came back and I told him what I just told you. And I asked him, do you think God is stronger in Argentina than he is here in America? They said, nope. I said, do you think cancer is stronger here than there? They said, nope. Do you think disease is stronger here than there? They said, nope. I said, the only difference between what happened there and what happens here is what you're expecting. I tell you that if you believe and expect that you can be healed by a word of knowledge, and you're expecting it, and you're not waiting for something, you're not waiting for me to pray for you. You're not waiting for someone to lay hands on you. You're not waiting to feel something, but you just believe it can happen by the word, it can start. I'd never seen it happen in 11 years until I declared it. And that night and every night, almost every night without exception, from 95 to today, we have seen people get healed by the word of knowledge without anyone touching them. Now, others get healed through prayer. Sometimes we do pray. And sometimes they're not even healed in that prayer. They're healed when you lay hands on them. But I just want you to know, it is so exciting when we see God come. I want one story. We were in three or four weeks ago, we were in Fortaleza, Brazil. And there's a girl that's 17 years old, and she's born deaf, completely, totally deaf in both ears. Never heard a sound. And it is a huge place, and it wrapped around the sides, and the people of our team were giving words of knowledge, and they're out here in front. She's way over there. So she not only cannot hear anything, she can't see what's going on. One of the persons on the team said, there's something wrong with somebody's right ear. Now, this is more than the power of the testimony. And Bill Johnson talks about the power of the testimony. You know, the people often just by telling testimony increases their faith and they get healed by the story. Just the story of the testimony builds faith. But this girl doesn't understand language and can't hear. And all of a sudden, this is one of those object lessons for me. They gave the word of knowledge. She's over there, and she starts hitting her ear and then looks at her mother in astonishment and went like that and was indicating she can hear, but she doesn't understand any language or anything because she's never heard language. But her ear opened. No one prayed for her. Her ear opened by someone giving the word of knowledge they had. God did it, just sovereignly did it when the word was came forth. A few minutes later, another person on our team gives a word for the other ear, and the girl, the same girl, 17 years, born deaf, she starts hitting the other ear. She's feeling this power hitting her. It's itching her ears, and all of a sudden, bam, it opened. I'm sitting there amazed. The father was so shocked when he first gave the testimony. He was just totally had it all composed. 5 minutes later, when he comes to stage to give his testimony, he's weeping because it's reality's hit him. These are the ways of God. Now, I believe that we can move from healings to miracles, and we can see more when the congregation comes to an understanding of its role in understanding the ways of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through around 20, the Lord gave me this when I was preaching at a Baptist church in Brazil. And I'll just read that because I want to get it exactly right. Because I believe this is a key to greater miracles in our congregations. And this is the role, you know, God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And there's the role of the apostolic and stirring up and impartation and gifts and things. There's the role of the prophetic to encourage and build up and all. And the evangelists in the New Testament, they all moved in great supernatural power, especially to heal. But even the pastor teachers have a major role in causing a congregation to come into a greater dimension of the supernatural. And that is through the teaching gift, the pastoral teaching gift, the teaching and training their people about the ways of God. And this is one that I think is really important. This is what the Lord brought to my attention on the way to this church. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. That's Logos promises, and that's also Rhema promises. A word of knowledge, a prophetic word, a Rhema word, has in itself the power to bring about what it just declared. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And now here's the point. Here's the point. Get this. And so, through him, the amen, which means let it be, so be it. The amen, it's in regard to these promises. If there's a rhema word, if there's a word of knowledge that comes forth about something he wants to do, some healing, or not just a healing, but something God says he wants to do, and the Spirit of God's all over it, the church has a responsibility to respond in faith, speaking the amen, because if the response doesn't come from the congregation to the invitation falls to the ground. And to the degree that it's embraced, it's empowered. Look at it. I'll show you this. I'll back that up. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us, plural, to the glory of God. Now, you got to understand, the rhema word comes, the promise. We respond congregationally with the amen. That is to the glory of God, because the glory of God is revealed in the demonstration of God's power. When the church responds with the amen in their heart to the word, it's not just the word of, not just the faith of the individual who needs that healing, not just the faith of the person that's ministering healing, but it's the faith of the congregation. There's something now in quantum physics, I don't even know the language for it, but it talks about a sphere that when you step into that sphere, something happens. And I believe there is a spiritual presence, a sphere of faith. And that's why sometimes so much can happen in a particular meeting, because the faith level rises so high. All right. Now, having talked about the ways of God, that's my introduction instruction. I want to give a short sermon. That was just talking to you. It really is a short. It's not my shortest sermon. When I'm really in a pinch, I quote Jesus verbatim. I love his sermon. He's got one that fits when you really need more time to minister and less time to talk. And I was in Copenhagen one time, said, we'll give you my shortest sermon. Jesus said, change the way you're thinking, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, it's over. That's it. That's it. Then we just began to minister. This is a little bit longer. All right. Matthew 9:35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching them in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. How many diseases did he heal?
Every.
I'm looking for the service where everybody gets healed. Now, we've had some meetings where and sometimes up to 50, 60 people on our team, and everybody that prayed on our team, everybody they prayed for got healed. Now, I don't know if everybody, every sickness, every disease in the meeting got healed. Probably not. But I tell you, I'm excited when we get to the point that everybody that prayed for everything they prayed for got healed in one meeting. That's exciting. We're getting closer. We were in a meeting in a church of 70,000 in Manaus, Brazil. And this one night is when all angelic activity started happening. And the seers began to tell me what was going on. And I didn't say there's angels just came over here on the left like 18-inch whirlwinds of fire whirling over your heads. I didn't say that. I just said, over on my right, a bunch of healing's about to start happening. They didn't need to know why. I just needed to declare it. We had most closest we ever got to 100%, 11,000 people in that sanctuary. I asked the pastor when it came to how many of them were healed to do this. I said, Pastor, I can't count that many. It's impossible. You and your staff tell me what percentage of the people you see doing this. And they said, conservatively, it's 90%. We had over 10,000 people, most I've ever seen in one meeting, get healed. It's learning the ways of God. Matthew 12:15. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. A large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. How many did he heal?
All.
I got a theme on this message tonight. I'm in the message now. You get the theme? Jesus 14:14. When Jesus landed and saw a great crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Matthew 14:35-36. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. How many? What'd they have to do? I believe we can be in a meeting where his presence is so real, so strong. That should be one of the goals of worship. That we come into a place through abandonment and worship. That it's not about whether we like the songs. It's not about how good the musicians are. The real test is the presence. And in that presence, whoever touches him, they get healed. I believe, because I just have seen the faithfulness of God. Now, I'm not trying to hype this meeting. I'm just telling you, I have seen for the last 15 years or so, the faithfulness of God. Even in the United States, which is increasing what we're seeing in the United States getting so much better than it used to be. Minimum 10% of the people get healed. If it's a good meeting, 20%. When we get over 30%, I think we're in a really good meeting. Anything above that, it's a great meeting for me. All right, our last scripture. Matthew 10:37-38. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. How many did he heal? Do you believe he could heal all? I believe that's the will of God. But even Jesus was limited in Nazareth because of their unbelief. Where he could do no mighty deeds there except that he healed a few. I do not believe, there was 10 or 15 years ago, to me, America was Nazareth. But I tell you, God's been doing something in the church in the United States, and there are pockets where it is not Nazareth anymore. God has been, by his faithfulness and what's been happening over these last several years, God has been building faith in the church of America, and now we're beginning to see things in the United States that we have had never seen unless we were somewhere in the third world. I want to share with you something, then we're going to go for it, and I'm done with the sermon. Now we're in ministry time. So, sermon's over. Every clock watcher, don't say I'm long-winded. Now, see, Jesus, he liked to show and tell. And the commission wasn't go out and preach, it's go out and preach and heal. Go out and preach and deliver. And tell them the kingdom's at hand. It's near. It's upon us. It's just like we just reach up and touch. His kingdom's power is with us. That is the good news. Good news. is about the kingdom's power is breaking in, and the walls of Newtonian physics are destroyed because of the law. The physics of heaven are different than the physics of the earth. And what is impossible here is not impossible when the kingdom breaks in among us. And I and the king established the beachhead. He came to destroy the works of the devil, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. We get to go in because the strong man has been bound. We get to go in and plunder his kingdom. And you and I, we were plunder. And we get to plunder the kingdom, rescue souls like brands plucked from the fires, Peter said. Then we bring them into the kingdom and they help us become kingdom plunderers. I'm a kingdom plunderer and I am in the restoration business. I go to the junkyards and I pick up the people that the world has thrown away. When the seminary said I'd never have a ministry, and when they were ready to throw me away, I know what it's like to be on the dump heap of rejection and for the Savior to come and pick you up and say, I have a better plan for your life. What the enemy meant for ill, I'm going to bring good out of it. What was your stumbling block? What was put before you by the enemy to destroy you? I'm going to redeem it, and I'm going to make you a redeemer of those that's being touched by the same thing. I believe in miracles. I just don't believe in healing. I believe in miracles. I believe in creative. I believe in miracles. I just don't believe in healing. I believe in miracles. I believe in creative miracles. Now, having said that, I need to say the first time we went to this little old white church on the wrong side of the tracks, down a little old dirty road, and the pastor was hungry. You know, it doesn't really matter what's on the door of the church or above it, the name of the church or denomination. What really matters is that senior pastor hungry. Because I've never seen a revival where the senior pastor didn't want it. All God really needs is that senior pastor to become hungry. He'll get revival. He may get fired. But it's worth it. Miracles. This year, in the spring, we were in Brazil again. I have a doctor, an eye doctor from England is on our trip. Our teams are from many countries. We sometimes have 5, 6, 7 countries represented. And this woman had an accident. Her eye was so damaged that they create a silicone saddle for her eye to sit in so that it doesn't stick back so far. It's just to build it for aesthetic purposes so it doesn't look bad. A false lens. Her lens was so destroyed, they put a false lens on it. A silicone part of her eye is silicone, and her eye is dead. And she's told you'll never see out that eye again. A woman on the team prayed for her, and God caused her eye to see. Now, I have to confess, I had trouble with this one. You know, it's one thing when you're dealing with human parts, but now a false lens and silicone, come on. And so I saw the video, but the hand over the eye was kind of like this. I said, well, she could peek out of that other eye right there. I can't tell that story until I'm convinced it's true. So I happened to be on the sidewalk of the church after it's over, and she comes out and I recognize her from the video. I said, hey, I'm sorry, but I got to do this. And I put my hand, I cover up that eye really good. I said, now, can you see my fingers? How many? Cuantos dedos de mano? And she got it right. I said, I don't understand it, but I believe it. God is able to do things our brains can't comprehend. I believe in miracles. I just don't believe in healing. I believe in miracles. I believe in creative miracles.
Dr. Randy Clark, teaching at the World Prayer Center in Louisville, Kentucky. His topic, preparing our hearts for the supernatural move of God. Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. I'm Jim Rome.
Come fly with Global Air Force.